for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday morning, July the 2nd, 2009. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service, teaching on The Glory of Children is Their Father.
This message is on The Glory of Children is Their Fathers, and I've taught this before, but at a family camp, I think it's so important because the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, that's not just a monetary inheritance, but your forefathers, your father, can leave you all the rotten things that went on in his life. He gives that to you as an inheritance. And so, but the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I remember praying with a girl at a seminar, and she said, you know, I had this dream, and she said it was about a house, and she said, I was left this house, and it was just dark and evil, and the Spirit of God quickened to my mind an evil, wicked inheritance. And when I said that, that girl just about collapsed when she got delivered from a wicked inheritance that was passed down to her father. And, you know, if your father was not there, then you see God unconsciously until you're delivered. You see God the same way you see your earthly father. And that's why it's so hard for some of you to come to the Lord, is because you've got so many things blocking you from God because you had a poor example as an earthly father. And unconsciously, you're seeing God the same way. If your earthly father didn't love you, the lie is God doesn't love you. If the earthly father was a liar, the lie is that God is a liar and it's hard for you to believe his word. If your earthly father did not communicate with you, it's hard for you to have a prayer life because the lie is God don't want to talk to me either. So if your earthly father was worthless, no good, then the lie is God is worthless and no good. Now, you know, your head says something different. But your heart says, oh, yeah, he's just like daddy. And those judgments you make on your earthly father puts a block between you and God. And you can't get to God in those particular areas where you've judged God because of the judgments that you've made. You have to first forgive your father. You know, so many times people need a revelation of what God says to them. And you'll say, ask God to show you what he thinks of you. Well, they get nothing. You know why they got nothing? It's because their daddy never affirmed them. So if those of you who are ministers, you've got to first lead them to forgive their fathers for not affirming them. Forgive my father for never talking to me, never saying anything nice to me, always verbally abusing me, whatever. Those judgments make a block that keep me from hearing God. And so when you lead people in repentance and then say, ask God to show me, they'll say, he said, I was precious, and they'll start crying. It's like a revelation. And so many of you have a hard time getting to God and walking in a victorious life because you were left a wicked inheritance by your earthly father. But the good news is God, the heavenly father, is a greater glory than an earthly father. But in order to get God's glory, you have to walk in obedience to the Lord, but you also have to forgive your father for all the failures that have put a block between you and God that has kept you from God's glory. And God tells fathers, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So if a father violates this word in any area of training up a child, there's an automatic hurt anger issue until that child goes to God and forgives the parent. So God says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. And the alternative is, but bring them up in the discipline instruction of the Lord. And so wherever anger comes in, wherever a parent violates the word of God in training up a child. And so, you know, you may not even have felt angry, but there's an automatic issue. If you let the sun go down in your anger as a child and you didn't forgive your father, by the time you went to sleep at night, you have till sundown, then what you did, your heart turned to something else, a promise or something that when you grow up, you're going to get out of here, you're going to find somebody that loves you, you're going to whatever. And because you didn't turn to God, you turned to a false god that became an issue of your life. And whatever you sow, you'll reap. And so that sets in motion, those judgments set in motion forces that cause you to keep on reaping the same thing until you go back and take that to the cross and forgive your father. And I want to say this, if you're not a disciple, there's no salvation for you if you're not a disciple. There's no healing and there's no deliverance. The Bible says that you know you're my disciple if you have love for one another. In John 8, it says, bear fruit, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. In Isaiah, it says, I'll give you the tongue of a disciple that you might sustain the weary one with a word. And morning by morning, I'll wake up your ears to listen and you will not be disobedient nor will you turn back. So, disciples, obey. Jesus told the disciples in Mark 4, in Luke 8, in Matthew 13, he said, to you disciples, it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them, the others, those that are not disciples, give them ears that hear not, eyes that see not, and a heart that cannot understand so that it cannot be healed. And so healing, deliverance, and salvation is for disciples. And if you're here and you're wanting deliverance, and you're going to go home and not get in the Word and not be a disciple, not abide in the Word, not walk in love, not walk in obedience, can I tell you that the demons, like Nathan said, will come back seven times worse, or really eight. The one that left plus seven more is eight. And so if you're not a disciple, you'll walk away from this place and you'll go back to the same grubby, crummy life you've had. But if you want a blessed life, the Bible says, how blessed are those who trust in the Lord. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. And so we have to deal with these issues so that we can live an overcoming life in Christ Jesus. You know, the promises of God are to the overcomer. And children that don't have an earthly father have a harder time overcoming until they deal with their father issues. In societies where the role of the father seems to be irrelevant or impersonal or detached, then children sometimes, most of the time, have a hard time taking on responsible roles in society. Women don't function properly when loving male leadership is absent. And many of the abuses in the women's lib movement has to do with the global default of a father. Almost every African American in America, because of slavery, has the male priesthood's been destroyed, and now it's been destroyed in the white family. I mean, it really has nothing to do with color, but because of things that have happened in the generations, it's kept people from overcoming because we don't deal with generational iniquities of the forefathers. You know, I see many people that when I teach in a lot of African American churches, and I absolutely love to be in an African American church, I have to be careful that I don't get prejudiced because, you know, you don't have to tell them they have a need. Like sometimes Americans, white Americans don't really realize they have a problem. And I've seen so many African Americans healed, you know, in the South. Some of them kind of lumber when they walk. And that comes down from generational curses of their forefathers being physically beaten, worked to the bone. And when they forgive their forefathers, God heals them. And it's generationally. I've seen that happen over and over and over. Also, one of the roots of fibromyalgia and lupus is due to the absence of a father in their life. Now you can have a father that's involved in your life, or you can have a father and he can be a couch potato father that doesn't participate in your life, and or he's drunk on the couch. You see what kind of inheritance he leaves a child? Terrorism, rape, and violent crime proliferate in societies where there's not loving male leadership. It's well known that children, for instance, who've been sexually abused by a father, and I know people that have even been sexually abused by their mother. It's just beyond me. But you see, if you've been sexually abused, then that's given you an inheritance of that. When we were in Beaumont last week, Velma and I prayed for some people that I've never seen such broken lives. Almost every one of them had been sexually abused or beaten. One lady was beaten when she was 8 years old, where she couldn't walk for 3 weeks. She couldn't walk. Just terrible abuse. And often people that are abused become abusers themselves until they're delivered and healed. You know, through soul ties, for example, a soul tie, if I go put, what it does, through a soul tie, you bear the image of whoever violates you. And it would be like if I went up to that glass door and put a muddy hand on that glass door, it would leave a muddy imprint. And when people violate God's word in training you up, it's like they're leaving lots of muddy imprints on you. But the good news is that Jesus wants to set you free, but you've got to go back and take all these memories, all of the violations. You've got to take them to the cross and deal with them God's way. And then healing is instant. The minute you forgive in that particular area, you are healed. In wherever area you haven't forgiven, you're turned over to the tormentors. But children raised in homes without fathers are more likely to fail in life, commit crimes, abuse drugs, have children out of wedlock, live in poverty, drop out of school, and commit suicide, and are aimless and poor fathers themselves because they've had a poor role model. And so the inheritance their father gives them, they turn around and give it to their children. You see how important it is to have a right relationship. The Bible says deliverance ministry in Malachi, that God will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And so when we don't have a good earthly father, we get a wicked inheritance in whatever area that they violated this word. Boys who grew up there without their fathers are at least twice as apt to end up in prison. 60% of rapists and 72% of adolescent murderers never knew or lived with their father. And the issue is not one of race, sex, color, ethnic group, class. For instance, white affluent girls are 5 times more apt to get pregnant out of wedlock. Because you see, when a child doesn't have a relationship with a father, I don't mean a man that just lives in the house with you. I mean a relationship with a father. There's a father hole in their heart. And little girls will seek after men, sexual relationship with men, because in their mind, sex is love. And a male that has a father hole in his heart will seek after a homosexual relationship. Because I've had many homosexuals tell me, you know, initially, I didn't really want sex. I just wanted a man's arm around me. It's so blessed to see a daddy kiss his baby boy. Little boys never get too big for their daddies to kiss them. And, of course, the kid may think so, but keep on kissing him anyway. I know a man that was a homosexual, and his daddy was worldly, got involved with other women, left him, and he became a homosexual. And then the dad got saved and got filled with the Spirit, and he went after that homosexual son. He healed that homosexual son by getting in his life. And this guy didn't even want his daddy living with him. Moved in with his son. He didn't even want his daddy there. But the relationship that his daddy persisted to give him what he didn't have healed him and delivered him from homosexuality. And you know, little baby boys, until they're 2 or 3 years old, it's normal for them to be bonded to their mother. But when they're 3 years old, if they're not bonded to their daddy or to a grandfather or some good male in their life, then they can become a homosexual because they have their mother's familiar spirit. They never were taught how to a man should act. So the feminine characteristics come through, and then that makes them a prey for homosexuals to hit on them. And it's been proven that male homosexuals almost always describe a poor relationship with their father. They need extra same-sex affirmation later on in life to fill the hole in their heart that was left through the vacancy of a father. And it's the same with the girls. If you've had a good father, you need to thank God for him every day. You need to thank him. In the world, it's referred to as a father hunger, an empty place in the heart of many men and women who never experienced effective fathering. For there was no man in the homosexual's life to pour into them those things that a boy needs, no father to guide them in manliness, no man to model manhood for them, to teach them how to relate to women, to affirm their own manhood. And being bonded to their mother, they're left with her familiar spirit and with an uncertainty as to how they should act. It brings a confusion upon their identity. They begin to think, you know, my son died of AIDS, and he lived a homosexual lifestyle. And he died 3 days past his 25th birthday. And about a month before he died, he said, Mom, I always felt like I was a girl. And you see, when he was 2 weeks old, you know, we do so many things as parents out of ignorance because we don't know better. But I remember my aunt said she came to see him when he was 2 weeks old, and she said, you know, he's too pretty to be a little boy. And so I was bathing him a few days after that, and I wanted a girl when he was born. When they told me I had a boy, my heart sank. I don't remember saying anything, but I was so disappointed. And his daddy was an All-American football player, and when I was pregnant, his dad would say, if it's a boy, he'll probably be a sissy. But 2 weeks after my aunt said that, I could even tell you the color of the bathroom. You see, God lets you remember things because he's wanting you to take accountability for it. And I remember standing this direction in the bathroom, and I was bathing him, and I said, you'll just have to be my little girl. See, I didn't know that death and life are in the power of the tongue. I hate to see parents say, this kid, I'll say, oh, what a cute little boy. Yeah, but he's a little devil. Quit saying those things. That allows demons to come and draw, sends demons on that person or that child to carry out what you say. But a blessing works just the opposite. A blessing imparts the grace of God to carry out what you've blessed. And so I have seen, even in relationships, I've got some family members that look like there's no joy and there's no happiness. And I've just been saying, Lord, I bless her with rejoicing. I bless her with gladness. I bless her with happiness. And you know, I've seen a change. I've even seen them laughing. So we need to use our tongues to bless. We need to use the rod when kids don't mind. And we need to bless them when they do good. And bless them when they're not doing good. So that God can impart his grace to them to carry out what you bless. A daddy affirms a little boy's masculinity, and he affirms a little girl's femininity. And extra damage is done when the parent wants a boy and he has a girl, or he has a girl and he wants a boy. And so a girl can take on a masculine personality to please her dad because she thinks he wants a boy. A caring father who nourishes an intimate relationship makes a profound effect on a child's life. You know, my son's dad left when he was 12 years old, and he really did not, he was bonded to his daddy, my oldest son, but the youngest wasn't. He was bonded to his daddy, and his daddy left when he was 12 years old. And, you know, so he really didn't grow up with his daddy. And I think because of that, he's a great daddy. He's the best father I've ever seen. Him and my grandson are just like that. And it has an effect on a child's life. My grandson said, we were talking about rejection one day. He said, I have never felt rejected one day in my whole life. because he's got a daddy that affirms him. He's got a mother that loves him. He's got grandparents that love him, and we're always telling him how special he is. When he was little, he was about four, I'd call over there, and he'd answer the phone, and I'd say, "Is this my godly, responsible, dependable, intelligent, helpful, obedient grandson, preacher boy?" And he'd say, "Uh-huh." And so we need to bless our children. Don't say negative things. In fact, we shouldn't say it about ourselves. I mean, I've cursed myself more than anybody's ever cursed me. And I'm hoping I'm quitting. Carla's helping me with it. When I say something I shouldn't, she gives me the elbow when I'm around her. Remote, indifferent, unavailable human fathers can lead us to believe that God is detached, unconcerned, uninvolved in the daily affairs of our life, and he doesn't really care. You know, if you're angry at God, that tells me you're angry at your real daddy. Because if you come up and say, "I'm just mad at God," well, you need to go right back to the cross with that. Forgive your earthly father. Proverbs 13:22 says, and I've already shared this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Proverbs 17:6 says, and the glory, beauty, and glory of sons or children and is their fathers. Fathers leave a legacy to their children, either good or evil. And however your father was, all of the negative characteristics of your father, you need to forgive him. And generally, you've probably generally said, "I forgive my father." But you need to forgive your father for every negative characteristic, each thing separately. Batching it all up won't do it. In deliverance and inner healing, you've got to specifically, "I forgive my daddy for being a bum. I forgive him for not talking to me. I forgive him for not loving me. I forgive him for not protecting me. I forgive him for being an alcoholic. I forgive him for never talking to me." You see, each of those things, when you forgive him and take that to the cross, then healing will come and that judgment will be broken and the lie that God's the same way will be eradicated. Glory to God. How I came onto this message is I had ministered to an African-American man who was a graduate of University of Texas. He said that when he was also an officer by going through the military training at college, but he said he couldn't get a job. He said, "I failed at everything I've done." He said, because of prejudice, he said, "I was disqualified from their flight program." And he felt like that there was some prejudice there. But he said, "I can't get a job." And the Lord told me the glory of children or glory of sons is fathers. King James says children. New American Standard says sons, but it means sons and daughters. The glory of children is fathers. Glory is fathers of children. And I led him in repentance, but I didn't understand the whole thing. I didn't get it. And then I was in Corpus Christi teaching a meeting, and a guy came up to me. Well, this first guy said, I never knew my daddy. He said, "I had a stepfather that was interested in me till I got to be a certain age, and then he became an alcoholic, and I had nobody to teach me, nobody to lead me, nobody to guide me." And so then when I was in Corpus, I ministered to this man who was into real estate. He said, I'm a failure. He said, "I'm a college graduate, and I cannot get a job." And he said, "And my daddy, I never really knew my daddy. He left me when we were a certain age," and said that he married again, and said he would give things to his new wife's children, but he would never give me anything. You see the bitterness there? And so the Lord said again, the glory of children is fathers. And I still didn't understand it, but I prayed for him. And the next morning, before I ever got out of bed, I heard the word starch, and God began to tell me what it meant, the glory of children is fathers. And I heard the word starch, and I knew that was from God because I don't iron. Starch is not in my vocabulary. Anyway, when you live by yourself, you can splurge in some areas that you couldn't if you had family. But anyway, so I got out of bed, and I looked up the word starch in the dictionary, and it means the quality or active mental and physical energy, verb vigor, dash, drive, get up and go, punch, starch, spunkiness, vigorousness, vitality, hustle, liveliness, spirit, vivacity, zip, enthusiasm, and the opposite is lethargy, languor, and spiritless. And when I woke up with this scripture on my heart, the glory of sons is fathers. The glory of children is fathers. And so what God showed me is that boys and girls who grow up without a father until they're delivered, until they're healed, until they deal with their father issues, lack starch. They lack vigor. They lack get up and go. They lack motivation. You see, a father is kind of like a cheerleader or say there's a runner. You've watched these ice skaters, for example, how they have coaches that, you know, direct them and coach them and say, you know, go here, go there. It's like there's no coach because there's no daddy to coach them. And then it kind of really, I started getting sad because I realized that my sons grew up without a daddy, and it was really, it just broke my heart because they didn't know the glory of their father. Until a person's delivered, if you grew up without a father, then you're aimless until God brings healing, which means devoid of direction or purpose. That's why some of you have a hard time believing God's directing you. Am I doing everything right? Am I getting directed? Because you never had a coach. Or what they coached you in was something you shouldn't even know. They trained you up in the way you shouldn't go. God says, fathers, train up your children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. You know, if you were trained up to be in abuse, I can tell you until God heals you, you're still being abused. If you were trained up to be verbally abused, I can tell you, you're still being verbally abused until you take that to the cross. If you grew up in perversion, I can tell you, you're still into perversion until you take that to the cross. Because however you're trained up sets a default. You know, if you know about a computer, you can type a letter using about 300 different letters styles. And the minute you get into another letter, the computer will kick it back to the way it was set at the factory. And the way children are set at the factory is how they're trained up. It sets a default, and they keep trying to break out of it in the natural, and they keep getting kicked back to the way they were trained up. But the minute that person takes accountability, forgives fathers, breaks soul ties, breaks the judgments, asks God to forgive them for letting the sun go down on their anger and turn into something besides God, then God resets that default. Amen? The Bible says that God disciplines every son whom he loves, and he doesn't do that because he's mad at you. He does that because he wants to correct the things that mom and dad messed up on. And so when you go through a problem, if you'll learn to say, okay, this something was planted back here in my life, and it's producing this kind of fruit, you need to go back to find the seed that was planted, forgive, and the Lord will pluck that up and plant something good. And aimless means not producing or achieving a desired end or effect, unsuccessful, ineffective, ineffectual, unproductive, unfruitful, useless, unavailing, pointless, bootless, which means without advantage or benefit, wasted, feckless, which means lacking purpose or vitality, feeble or ineffective, careless and irresponsible, not producing or achieving a desired end or effect, unproductive, losing, unprofitable. You see, because daddy was devoid of direction and purpose, because he wasn't producing or achieving a desired end or effect, he was unsuccessful as a father, ineffective as a father, ineffectual as a father, unproductive as a father, and because he was, that's the kind of inheritance he leaves upon a child that doesn't have a godly father. On the other hand, children who have raging, controlling, perfectionistic, angry fathers have too much starch. There's a precious man in our church, and he is so godly, but he grew up with a raging, controlling, ranting, angry father, and this guy is so stiff he can hardly relax. He's just tied up in knots. And, of course, he's getting freedom. He's getting deliverance. But I saw him as having too much starch, too stiff. And then children without fathers, not enough. Hebrews 12, if you will, go to Hebrews 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we all had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we might share his holiness. You see, the Bible says that without holiness, no man's going to see the God. Now, that's not taught in the church today, but it's true. We're taught, pray the prayer, walk the aisle, be saved in your head, but you're never born again. And if you could respect your earthly father, it means that you respected them. But if you could not respect your earthly father, it means they confounded you, they confused you, and caused you to feel mixed up. Proverbs, the dictionary definition of glory. When I got out of bed, the Lord began to teach me about this message, and so I got up and looked up the word glory in the dictionary. And this is what glory. The glory of children is their fathers. So this is what glory means. Their great honor or distinction accorded by common consent, something conferring honor or renown. You see a child that has a father, it's like it confers honor and renown upon him. Highly praiseworthy asset. It means adoration, praise, thanksgiving offered in worship. It means majesty and splendor, resplendence. It means a height of achievement, enjoyment, or prosperity. It means a halo, something that you can't see with the naked eye. It means a nimbus or an aureole, which is a circle of light or radiance surrounding the head of our body. So in the spirit realm, if a child has a daddy, in the spirit, the demons can see the glory. And they'll say, you better leave him alone or her alone because she has a daddy. Protect. I know a girl that came out of Satanism, and she said that the Satanists, they would steal little children. And they would always take the children that didn't have parents from the church parking lot. The kids that the parents send to church without them. Just dump them off at the parking lot. You see, in the spirit realm, the demons can see the halo in the spirit. They can see the glory, or they can see if it's not there. If it's not there, they say, you can pick on him because he didn't have a daddy. You can pick on her because he didn't have a daddy. It makes a victim out of a child. And glory means to rejoice triumphantly over a child, to exult over a child. Children without a father don't have a daddy that's crowing about them and bubbling over about them and exulting in them. It means to rejoice triumphantly, exult like a sports team that gloried in its hard-won victory. And I guess I'm going to use this as an example because I thought of my son. My oldest son is my pastor, and the youngest one died when he was 25, and he had lived a homosexual lifestyle. The oldest one was obedient his whole life. He was an obedient son. If we told him to come home at 12 o'clock, at 11:55, his car came around the corner. He's always been obedient. But when he was in high school, he was playing football. And it was a Friday night, and my husband had a retreat ministry, his stepfather. And all the daddies wore the boys' jersey. It was football night. Well, I tried to get my husband to just drop the retreat on that one particular for an hour or two, and he wouldn't do it. And I was so mad at him because my son was the only one there and when I told my son, he said, oh, Mom, it was probably more unusual to have one with a daddy with a jersey. But in my mind, he was the one that's nobody to wear his jersey. And so a child without a daddy is kind of like football night and nobody to wear his jersey. And that was probably the most thing that broke my heart more than anything. Divorce is so demonic. it's demonic too, because then it's all these marriages and remarriages, and you have a reunion, and there's so many stepfathers and stuff. Oh, it's so demonic. And those of you who've gone through the sadness of a divorce know exactly what I'm talking about. It means splendor, something of the highest praise or regard, greatness, grandeur. Glory means magnificence, stateliness. You see, if a father gives a child glory, what it is, it's magnificence, stateliness, nobility, majesty, a state or position of outstanding power or importance. It gives a child confidence, eminence, preeminence, illustriousness, prestige, prominence, renown, notability, celebrity, impressiveness, sublimity, to feel or express joy or satisfaction about an event, to celebrate, bubble over, crow delight, triumph, jump for joy, rejoice, revel, make merry. Those are words that glory means. And the opposite of glory is paltriness, which is lacking in importance or worth, to feel trivial, or to make a person trivial. Now, I'm giving you the definitions, because the good news at the end of this is we're going to get God's glory, okay? But I just want to share what the lack of glory is lacking importance or worth or trivial. Wretched, contemptible, trash, ragged, deficient in quality or quantity, meager, inadequate, mere, insubstantial, lacking substance or reality, scant, scanty, skimpy, sparse, scarce. You see what kind of inheritance that a child receives that has no daddy? Infinescible, inappreciable, inconsiderable, spare, poor, limited, small, little, slight, insignificant, smallness, which means being below the average in size or magnitude, limited in importance, significance, limited in degree or scope, lacking position, influence. And when I say below average in size, I'm not talking about physical size. I'm talking about accomplishment, success, things that a person would accomplish. Lowliness, having or suited for a low rank or position. Humble or meek in manner. Plain in a low manner, condition, or position. It means triviality, of little significance or value. You see, if a daddy doesn't train up a child in the way he should go and doesn't give him a good inheritance, that's how that child feels, and that's how he's treated in society. You know, we treat ourselves the way we're treated. If you grow up to be loved, then you feel loved. You know, I remember there's not been many people that I've ministered to over the years. Carla knew a love of a daddy. I knew a love of a daddy and mother. I mean, I never felt unloved a day in my life because my mom and dad loved me. But if you were not loved, the lie is nobody loves me. Your expectation is nobody's going to love me. If you're rejected, my expectation is everybody's going to reject me. If I'm not valued, then my expectation is that nobody values me. And you see, it's all a lie. But the good news is God wants to come and be your glory. And then from now on, the powers of darkness say, you better leave her alone because God is her father. His glory is greater than man's glory. But not having God's glory is unimportant, not important, petty, marked by narrowness of mind, ideas or views, marked by meanness or lack of generosity, especially in trivial matters. It means idle, not employed or busy, avoiding work or employment, lazy, lacking substance, value or basis, to pass time without working, or while avoiding work, to move lazily and without purpose, to run at a slow speed or out of gear, to pass time without working or while avoiding work, waste, idle, insignificant, the quality or state of being insignificant, inconsequential, illogical, not having relevance to the topic at hand, irrelevant, sidetracked, digressive, divergent, drawing apart from a common point, departing from convention, extraneous, immaterial, inconsequential, unrelated, not having relevance to the topic at hand, irrelevant, sidetracked, unrelated, marked by or given to digression, inconspicuous, inglorious, namelessness, unknown by name. Doesn't God say He's going to give you a new name? Deficient or absence of light, which is darkness, the quality or condition of being unknown or unimportant, to be common, ordinary, having no special designation or status or rank, not distinguished by superior or noteworthy characteristics, average, of no special quality, standard, mediocre, or inferior quality, second rate, unrefined or coarse in manner, vulgar, lack of refinement, to be downcast, which means feeling or showing unhappiness or hopelessness, sad, downhearted, depressed, forlorn, despondent, dejected, desolate, heartbroken, heartsick, despairing, heavy-hearted, dispirited, distraught, distressed, and undone. And that's what happens when a child does not have a father. Colossians 3:21 says, "Do not, fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart." King James says that they may not be discouraged. And that word means dishearten the spirit, break their spirit, crush, fracture, fragment, rupture, and weaken them in strength. And it discouraged means to take away the courage of a child, to lessen the hope of a child, to lessen the confidence of a child, to try to prevent by disapproving, to frown upon, dishearten, depress, be of low spirits, to hinder through fear, loss of incentive. You see how important it is that our relationship is healed with our earthly father. You see the importance of that. And forgiveness is the only thing that will heal that relationship. It doesn't mean you have to, if they're evil or satanic, you don't have to fellowship with them. But it means that you're resolving in your heart your father issues, because the more you do, the more of God the Father you'll get. Hallelujah. That's good news. And the most wonderful thing about being a Christian is that we can have a unique relationship with our Creator, Father God. And He says He will be a father to the fatherless. He says that when my mother and father forsake me, He will take you up. Isaiah 66:12 in the Amplified Bible says He will pick you up on His hip. And see, this is one of the roots to hip problems, is the lack of nurture. He will pick you up on His hip and He will trottle you, it says in the Amplified. He will trottle you and bounce you up and down on His, God's, maternal knees. So there He comes as El Shaddai. Amen. The many-breasted God, the nurturing God. And so through faith in Jesus, we can call God our Abba Father. In Acts 17:24, it says, "Though God the Father is creator of all things, He is known as a personal and loving Father only to those who call on Him and seek His face." So after you get God's glory, to get His glory, for His glory to be, the Bible says that the light of the righteous is like the dawn. It gets brighter every day. God wants to brighten that glory as you walk along in repentance. You get more of His glory, more of His glory. But don't think you're going to let it live in sin and have God's glory. You can keep on with that same kind of life. But God wants to restore your life. The Bible says in Psalms 146:9, the Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow. So how you would get God's glory is you first of all have to forgive your earthly father for all of his failures. And you don't say, "Lord, I forgive my daddy for all those sins." You name them one by one. And then even after you name them, the Lord will show you more. I mean, there's not a day, Harley, that goes by the Lord don't show me some judgment I made against my mother and father. And of course, they're in heaven and I can't talk to them because the Bible forbids you to talk to the dead. But I can say, "Lord, would you please ask my daddy to forgive me? Would you please ask my mother to forgive me for being a brat and not respecting her?" And ask God to take you up and gather you to Himself. Ask the Heavenly Father to come fill the void. Fill up that father hunger, that hole in your heart that was left from the lack of a father. And since God is the Father to the fatherless, ask Him to come and be your glory. And He's the best father anybody could have, and He's the greatest glory anybody could have. After the Lord gave me this message, another morning I was waking up and the Lord showed me that my daddy didn't have his daddy's glory, and because of the illegitimacy that was coming down the bloodline, that they didn't know the glory of their father. My great-great-grandfather that was conceived illegitimately, given his mother's maiden name, his daddy was an adulterer. He was a married man that got his mother pregnant. And the Lord showed me that coming down through that was a generational curse on me of not having the glory of God the Father. So I took accountability, broke the generational curse, and I got some deliverance just from breaking that off my bloodline. So you can have a good earthly father, and you can be under a curse because of the generations of the forefathers. So why don't you stand up, and let's ask the Lord to show you. I want you just to think about your father and everything the Holy Spirit shows you. I want you to forgive him. And then when you're through, if you'll sit down, Lord, search my heart. And thank you, Lord, this day, because of repentance, I'm going to experience your glory. So, Lord, I ask for the truth that makes me free. And then when you're through forgiving your father and everything the Lord shows you, if you'll sit down, then we'll do group deliverance. You can have the best daddy in the world and still find something you need to forgive him for. Even if your daddy died and you never knew your daddy, so you didn't have your father's glory. Premature death is a curse. You just sit down when you're through. Lord, I forgive my dad for not being there. Pray with me. I forgive my dad for not being there. And if he was there, he wasn't there. I forgive him for having no relationship with him. No communication, no affirmation. I forgive him that he didn't wear my jersey, and that's just an expression of him not being there to encourage me. I forgive him for not encouraging me, not affirming me. I forgive him for setting a poor example. And Lord, he probably didn't have a daddy either. See, this goes back, your daddy did probably the best he knew how to do because he didn't have a daddy either. Just a curse that can end with you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my daddy for leaving, for abandoning me. I forgive him for giving me a wicked inheritance. Y'all pray with me. In the name of Jesus, I forgive him for not giving me starch, mental and physical energy. I forgive him for not giving me vigor, get up and go, punch, spunkiness, vitality, hustle. Lord, I forgive him, forgive me for thinking that, Lord, that I can fill this hole with a man. Lord, only you can fill this father hole in my heart. Lord, I forgive him for being devoid of direction or purpose. I forgive my dad for not producing or achieving a desired end or effect. I forgive him for being an unsuccessful dad, an ineffective dad, an ineffectual dad, an unproductive dad. I forgive him for being an unfruitful dad, a useless dad, unavailing dad, a pointless dad, a bootless dad, without advantage or benefit, useless, wasted. God, I forgive him for lacking purpose or vitality concerning me. I forgive him for being careless and irresponsible, not producing or achieving a desired end or effect. I forgive him for not training me up in the way I should go according to this word. I forgive him for provoking me to anger and being unprofitable and a loser dad. I forgive him in the name of Jesus. Lord, I forgive him for being angry, raging, controlling, perfectionistic, an alcoholic, a couch potato, a drunk. I forgive him for being a womanizer, unfaithful to my mother. I forgive him for not loving my mother, not loving me. Lord, I forgive him that I couldn't respect him. I forgive him, Lord, for making me feel like trash. I forgive him for making me feel ragged and deficient. Are y'all repenting? Deficient in quality, meager, inadequate. I forgive him for making me mere and unsubstantial and scant and scanty and skimpy and sparse and scarce and infinisible. I forgive him for making me unappreciable, too small to be noticed, or to make a significant difference. I forgive him for being a negligent dad, inconsiderable, spare, poor, limited, small, little, slight. I forgive him for making me feel low and trivial and unimportant and insignificant. God, I forgive him for making me feel common, ordinary, downcast, unhappy, hopeless, sad, downhearted, depressed, forlorn, despondent, dejected, desolate. I forgive him for breaking my heart, making me heartsick, despairing, heavy-hearted, dispirited, distraught, distressed, and undone. I forgive him for exasperating me, disheartening me, dispiriting me, breaking my spirit, crushing me, fracturing me, fragmenting me, rupturing me, and weakening me in strength. I forgive him for taking away my courage, lessening my hope, lessening my confidence, and preventing me by disapproving to frown upon, discourage, dishearten, depress, make me be in low spirits and hinder me through fear and loss of incentive. I command the spirit of fear to leave that came in through the Father not being their glory. In Jesus' name. In the name, power, blood, and authority of Jesus, I forgive him for not being my coach. I forgive him for not directing me and guiding me and leading me and using the rod on me and disciplining me. I forgive him for disobeying you, Lord, and being a rebel. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, he most assuredly probably didn't have a daddy either, is why he was this way. And I truly do forgive him. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I take accountability. Everybody pray. I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve? And let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through not having the glory of my Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus of not having a glory of a Father. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to lift your hands to God. The little baby lifts up his hands for his daddy to get him. And Lord, in Jesus' name, would you come and be my glory? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I receive your glory. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. I bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, I ask, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you can put your hands down. No, put them back up. Lord, I ask you to come and get me. You said when my father and mother forsake me, you'll take me up. Would you come and get me, Lord? And I ask you to pick me up and put me on your hip and throttle me, lovingly bounce me up and down on your God's maternal knees. You know how daddy bounces up a child? And Lord, I ask you, I call you my Abba Father, and I receive your glory, and I thank you that from this day forward, when the powers of darkness look at me, they'll say, you better leave me alone, because I have my Father's glory. In Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to impart to them great honor, renown, highly praiseworthy asset, adoration, praise, and thanksgiving, majesty, beauty, splendor. Lord, I ask you to release upon them a nimbus, a halo, Father, to rejoice triumphantly, to exult, grandeur, magnificence, stateliness, nobility, majesty, I loose upon them in the name of Jesus. A state or position of outstanding power and importance, I release that upon them. Eminence, preeminence, distinction, illustriousness, prestige, prominence, renown, hallelujah. Lord, I release over them standing, nobility, celebrity, impressiveness, sublimity, energy, starch, aim to make them have an aim and a goal. I loose upon them joy and satisfaction, exulting, celebration, bubbling over, crowing, delight, triumphing, jumping for joy, rejoicing, reveling. Praise the Lord. I command wretched to leave, trash, ragged, deficient, leave in Jesus' name. Meager, inadequate has to go. Failure, laziness, insubstantial has to go. Scant, scanty, skimpy. Be sparse, scarce, leave in Jesus' name. Infinitesimal has to go. Inappreciable has to go. Inconsiderable has to go. Spare, poor, limited, small, little, slight has to go in Jesus' name. I command insignificant to go, smallness, triviality, lowliness, unimportant, insignificance, go, commonness has to go, downcast, hopelessness, lack of confidence has to go, unhappiness, downhearted, depressed, forlorn, despondent, dejected, desolate, heartbroken, heartsick, despairing, heavy-hearted, dispirited, distraught, distressed, undone. You have to go down in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, forgive me for judging my daddy. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for turning to other gods instead of turning to you. Lord, as a little child, I didn't know I could go to you because I couldn't go to my daddy. And I come to you now, Lord, and I break soul ties with my dad. I call back my soul and spirit from him. I send back his soul and spirit to him. I exchange his image for the image of Christ. And Lord, would you fill up that father hole right now in Jesus' name? I ask you to come and fill that empty hole in their heart. And Lord, I thank you that you're a father to the fatherless. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. What a mighty God you are. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Praise you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.